That's Movie's brother.
Tyler, what's been going on?
I just went and saw this movie in theaters. I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides movie stuff, pretty much I've just been living super exciting life, man.
You remember when I was talking about Snapping Turtles a couple days ago? Was that on cast?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes and hope that sometime within the past 50 episodes we talked about Snapping Turtles.
Just to catch up, I don't like Snapping Turtles. I'm afraid they're going to snap off my little pinky toe when I'm in the river.
So can I just make it clear to you that the lake that I live on now that we went...
has Snapping Turtles?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was afraid then too.
Were you?
Yeah.
You didn't sound
That's
afraid.
That's why I was kind of like, I don't want to be in the water.
I didn't hear a quiver in your voice.
A quiver. Well, I'm bringing this up because I got vengeance today.
Dude, if you tell me that you straight up in cold blood murdered a Snapping Turtle, we're done with this episode.
Really? You'd be mad?
Yeah, what? They're
assholes, man.
What?
They are
gross looking. You can't just go
out
murdering snapping turtles.
I did not murder a snapping turtle, but a snapping turtle was murdered.
You shouldn't be happy about this.
I am. Sorry. Are we really defending a fucking snapping
turtle?
Yeah,
a turtle, bro.
No.
What turtle would do to you?
You know, I'll be honest. Turtles, not cool. Tortoises, cool. Turtles, not about it. They carry disease, I think. They're slimy.
Whatever. How many people have you personally encountered going, I got the turtle disease. I'm going to die in like 2 months. And it's just become such a huge pandemic that it's just crazy now. And we just got to get a revenge on turtles.
Disease. Salmonella. Boom.
Go eat raw chicken. You want to go murder chickens because they carry disease? No, you want to murder them because you want to eat them. At least you're getting... Now, I'm no vegan or vegetarian or anything like that.
You kind of sound like
one. But at least
like
if you're going to like kill something, like at least do something with it. Like eat it. You know what I mean? Give it some purpose. Don't just go murdering turds.
No.
I mean,
I did not kill a snapping turtle.
I
didn't you like brutally murdered a snake on podcast, but you talked about it on here. You were such a hypocrite. That garden snake was doing more and was less harmful to you than a turtle was. Definitely a snapping turtle.
I hate snakes.
You're the worst and a hypocrite. I hope you're happy. No, I did not kill a snapping turtle. I was just kayaking this morning and across one.
Another quick question.
Okay, hold on. I just want to clarify. I never thought about like what happens to animals in the water when they die. They just float upside down. Turtles, too. He was just floating straight upside down on the surface of the water, just dead as hell. Floating. I don't know why I thought they sank or something.
Here's the thing, though. If you just woke up, if I woke up in the middle of the night and saw, like, a snake slithering across my room, holy bejeebus,
What if you looked over?
But if I saw a turtle, it would terrify me because there's some mass moving in my room. Once I flipped the lights on, got a hold of myself, like, it's kind of creepy because just, like, not something that should be in my house. But if once I realize it's a turtle, I'd be like, okay, how do we get this out of here? This is weird. Got to figure this out.
Then you hear, because it's snapping.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary, but I don't want to, like, you. I don't want to.
What's a snake going to do?
It bite me.
Yeah, turtle bite, snapping turtle bite, dude. You're going to wish, you're going to be like, snake, please.
But at the same time, when I did kill that snake, I had, like, PTSD for a day. I felt so bad. Like, I was like, have you ever killed something bigger than, like, a bug? Because when you do, I just feel like a horrible person.
An armadillo, and I was just annoyed.
I'm just saying, I didn't get pleasure out of the act. Mm. So, you're sadistic.
Our Oompa Boonga caveman ancestors are so disappointed in us.
They ate the turtles.
Yeah.
So, did you eat it?
Well, no, I didn't kill the turtle. I was just happy it was dead.
That's my
very different.
I get to be fair. If I saw a dead snake, I'd be like, better than alive.
Yes, exactly.
I guess
snapping turtles are more aggressive.
If you
than
took
snakes,
a shovel
like.
And just like brutally hacked away at the shell of a turtle until slowly, like, I think you'd be a little scarred.
I don't know.
That's it. You just
if
saw
I had
a
all my
turtle
toes.
Floating.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
That's the only.
I was like, I had beached up to take a quick mid kayak
P.
They're gonna say kayak picture for some reason.
No.
Selfie. Turtle floating in the water upside down.
I have like a Instagram filter on it, like auto goes to the dead turtle, so dog ears or some shit.
Selfie. There's Franklin.
No, but I'd just gotten back in my kayak and I'd gotten all resituated. I was kind of near, you know, like the edge. It was like a little bit like swampy-ish area, and then like right in front of my thing was his dead carcass, and I was like, I was like freaking out because it's gross. Man, snapping turtles are not like regular turtles, dude. They're gross looking. What is this?
What? Fix it. No one knows what you're talking about if they're not watching this.
Which is the majority of them.
I didn't talk about it. I just pointed.
Yeah. The camera focused weird. But yeah, dude, they've got like weird little feet that I never noticed before. They're kind of like webbed and weird and claws and stuff. They're just weird little dinosaur creatures and I don't like them.
So, yeah, I don't like frogs.
Yeah, which is totally irrational. Frogs are like, but I'm not like
deadly terrified of them, but they're gross little like mini monster looking dudes.
Little frogs I like. The really big ones are kind of weird. Like the ones you know that people like actually eat frog legs and shit. Yo, like that size.
When I was on vacation, went to the beach, I saw the world's tiniest frogs. Like baby frogs.
Really?
I'm telling you, like this tiny. Wow. Like this, not even like smaller than my fingernail. Like probably at least the size of my pinky fingernail, if not a little smaller. It was crazy.
So how small is that tadpole?
And they just completely just yeeted themselves off of the bridge that we were on. Like there was a bridge like to the beach. It's not that high up. Like for me and you, it's like 2 or 3 feet off the ground.
Oh, but it was worlds above.
But you just see them,
the Golden Gate Bridge for those.
That always blows my mind that animals of that size and ants and things like that or whatever little bugs or whatever you are, a tiny creature, can jump off of something that to their scale is basically like us jumping off the Empire State Building and be fine.
Yeah, it's because they're like their shit is totally like so much better made than ours in so many ways. Like it's that whole, I think it's not to get sciencey here again because we're bad at that, but it's like the law, something, when the bigger something gets, the kind of worse it gets, you know what I mean? Like that's why you can never have something like the size of a blue whale on land, because like its size would just like there's no way to support itself, you know what I mean, its own weight and stuff. But you know, it's
weigh a lot less, so.
You know what's interesting, while they don't have to worry about stuff like falling, I don't know if I talked about this on here. I really don't think I did, but they have to worry about weird stuff like water
being
surface
stepped
tension.
On.
Well, no. Like literally, like some insects are so small, like ants and stuff like that. They don't have the strength. I don't know if ants are actually one of these, but some insects don't have the strength to break water surface tension.
Right.
So if they get stuck in water, they can't get out of it because they can't break the surface tension, so they'll just drown. Even in like a droplet of water, they could drown in it because they literally can't break through the barrier.
How crazy would it be to be small enough and to see a droplet of water, just a giant dome, you just kind of bloop, go
just
inside
around
of it.
You, and you're like, oh God. And you can see all your friends are just around you and they're all looking and none of them can help
you. It's like
you.
In Bug's Life. Didn't they take like, they drink out of like water droplets?
Yeah, they would like wrap them up in a little leaf like...
Yeah, or I think they may even take them by their hand and like sip them too sometimes, right? Maybe not. I don't know. Enough
really
of being sciencey. Time to get into some movie things.
Wow, it's that time already?
Yeah.
I had one other thing
I
wanted to talk about.
I thought that was it. Okay.
I just remembered. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I got into a binge last night. I watched like 3 hours worth of it of this YouTuber who he's actually a Twitch streamer, but he does YouTube stuff, and all he does is he pranks scam callers.
You watch a prank.
Yeah. I don't even know if prank is the right word. I mean, I guess it's kind of a prank, but really what he, like, his mission is that he's just trying to like waste as much of their time as possible.
Right.
And he is super elaborate about it. So like he has like voice modulators to make him sound like a female, and like that's in, or he'll do, and he'll also do other kind of accents like without the modulator and stuff like that. And he'll like call in and make all these stories, and like he has so the main scam that they do is really convoluted. Basically, they pretend like they work for like your bank or whatever, and they're offering you a refund. And so they have you like they have you download one of those screen control software things so mm-hmm. they can remote control your thing, and they're hoping you don't notice that you're downloading a remote screen controller thing. They log on, and then they have you then they're like, okay, I'll never ask you, like, I'm not legally allowed to ask you any of your bank information. But then they're like, okay, go ahead on your computer, log into your bank.
The people calling them the scammer people,
that's what they do.
Right, not the prank dude.
Not the prank dude. No, he's going
trying to download your...
But, so what the prank dude does is that he knows a bunch of code and like HTML stuff. So he makes fake web, like bank, online banking login and stuff like that, and then lets them do it.
Yeah.
And then what they're eventually trying to get him to do is they're trying to take a bunch of his money and say, oh no, something went wrong. I won't be able to like fix this error unless you send me $3,000 in Target gift cards. It's a really weird scam.
I've seen a lot of those. There's some female who has this like YouTube channel that she also
does
basically
that.
Does something very, very similar.
Around but, that yeah. do it. But this guy, man, the stuff he'll do with like the all the different like sounds he'll do and the overlays and stuff like that and how far he'll go. He even like, and some of these, they get so angry, like they're cursing at the top of their lungs, and he'll act like a little old woman, like trying to do stuff, and like he'll get all the cards and stuff, like, well, they're fake cards,
right.
But you know, he'll get them all together, act like he's about to give them to him, and then redeem them in front of him because he can see a screen. He'll sit there and redeem the cards because, and then act like a little, oh, I don't know, I thought that's what I was supposed to do, and he's eating the Indian scammer's like, no, no. You motherfucker! No, it's holy. It's the same thing every time. It gets me every time, dude. It's so great.
What if so if good. Somebody called me and was like, "I need $3,000 of Target gift cards"?
Well, here's the sad thing. If you look at the comments on the most popular videos, it's just person after person saying, "Thank you for getting this guy. I lost a whole bunch of money this way," and I'm like, "What? Who loses money this way? How?"
$3,000 of Target gift cards.
I know. He even wrote a script for a guy who it's an AI script with a bunch of his own voice recordings where it calls the centers with those numbers that he knows are scammers, and it has like voice recordings of a guy saying, oh, "I've got a bunch of gift cards. Like some guy told me to do. I'm here to like you said you needed them," and they're like instantly they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Tell me the numbers. And then he'll like the script. Is for every response they give, it gives some bullshit response that just wastes their time. And sometimes it'll go even like 30 minutes before they realize they're talking to a computer. And it just keeps doing that like all day. So he's just constantly wasting scammers' time. It's fantastic. The Lord's work, honestly, out there.
Are you trying to tell us that you have had a... I feel like you find these because you can relate in some way.
Nope.
Did somebody tell you to go grab a bunch of
I cannot afford
cards?
That. You know this.
Who has that money in their...
It's unfortunately, I think it's older people. It's got to be, right?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oldie.
Not the old people. No.
people trying to take money. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You deserve to get that $3,000 of Target gift cards taken away from you. maybe I'll have to. So that's what you're doing? You're plugging another YouTube channel?
What's his name? I think it's like Kit Bunga. It's such a weird, odd thing, but Kit, K-I-T, B-O-G-A, one word, Kit Bunga. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. He doesn't need our help. He's got millions of views.
Go check out That's Movies Brother on YouTube.
Yeah, tell him Kit Bunga sent you. I don't know.
All right, we're going to jump into some movie things, and that was your entertainment for today.
That's it. Am I funny?
All right, we're going to start off with news that probably everybody already knows, which is, I don't know if it happened last night, but we found out last night.
Well, last night being Friday night.
Yeah, because we're recording this
coming
it
out
is
Monday.
Saturday, August 29th. So Friday, 9, August 28th, it was released to the world, at least, that Chadwick Boseman has passed away.
From colon cancer
and
the last
man,
4 years.
No one knew.
I know, it's nuts.
That's crazy.
I thought it was a hoax.
Yeah.
I found out about it and I texted you like pretty soon after, but I was like searching and I was like, major news outlet. I was like, oh shit, this is not a hoax. Like,
yeah, I was on Instagram and somebody's story just said, it was just a black screen with text and it said like, hold your loved ones close or something like that. And I was like, oh no, my friend, like something happened to them, like somebody close to them.
Yep.
And then I go to the next story and I was like trying to figure out what was going on. And I just like in the next story of like somebody else's, it said, I guess Chadwick Boseman or whatever. Or no, I got out of the story because I was going to go to like that person's page to kind of see what was going on, I guess, I think. And then I saw it like in my feed. And right. Of course, it was all over the place. And I was like, yeah, it was very unexpected.
I found out in like the worst way possible. I got an email from like, you know, I don't know if you get this, but like for the, if you have a Reddit account, like That's Movies Brother One, sometimes it'll just get random emails that are saying like somebody on Reddit said something, even though if you're not even related to it at all. That's how I found out. It was like an email, it said Reddit, and then it said RSS user said Chadwick Boseman has died, and I was like, what the fuck, what is that? And I had to Google it, and I was like, oh god. What the hell.
So
obviously very sad.
It's like I feel like it's the
weird,
first
and so out of the blue.
Yeah, and I feel like it's one of the first deaths of somebody like a famous actor, entertainer, whatever, where now, unfortunately, man, I feel like, all right, you guys had your fun part of the episode at the beginning, because a lot of the rest of this is not going to be super. I mean, to be fair, I don't want to be super down. Like, obviously, he was, from what I know, I don't know him I'm not going to pretend like I knew who he was, but he did
like
a lot
a
of really
guy.
Seemed like he did a lot of really cool movies that were really impactful on a lot of people.
Obviously,
and,
Black Panther. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a lot of the movies that I've hearing from other people of why it impacted them. Yeah, he was every movie that I've seen him in, like top notch as far as acting goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I guess what I was going to say was, you know, unfortunately, some actors, entertainers pass away from uncertain reasons. And some of them you don't know about until it's too late. But this was one where I felt like I had zero idea when it was a condition that's been lasting for this long. Does that make sense?
You don't know about it until it's too late.
So for example, not to get super down.
It kind of implies that there's something you could have done.
Well, no. I'm like until like after it happens. So for example, what I kind of mean by this, and I don't want to get super down, but like some people who like overdose on drugs or do stuff like that. Like most of those you hear about, obviously, after it happens and you find out why, it's because they did something to themselves. That's one that's obviously too late. But what I mean by that, I don't mean too late, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you don't know they have an issue until
they're already gone. Gotcha.
But this is one that's like something that wasn't inflicted upon themselves. And it was a pre-existing condition that lasted for years. And like no one knew about, because sometimes with actors and entertainers, you find out when they have cancer or they're fighting some kind of battle with some kind of terminal illness.
Yeah.
This one just felt, and I'm not diminishing his or anybody else's, death in
it's
any
just
way.
Extra sad, it's just, because he seemed like a really good guy.
I don't
and
even want to say extra sad. I'm just saying more out of the, like more, it's just very different from any other celebrity death that I've witnessed.
I mean, it's one thing when like, an influential actor, family man, and relatively young, late 40s. He's like 49? 43.
I didn't even know he was in his 40s. When I've seen, from the movies I've seen, I thought he was late 30s.
I mean, I don't know why I thought he was older. He doesn't look old or whatever. But right.
It was so different and out of the blue in such a different way that I've never experienced. So it just like shocked me. You know what I mean?
It reminds me of, like Robin Williams, you know, we didn't know like he had all those mental health issues going on. And then all of a sudden he was just gone. That kind of a deal. You know, that's like the vibe I was getting when I heard about Robin Williams dying. It's like same kind of feeling where I was just like, what?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff. I don't know. I just want to say that, like, you know, the stuff that he has in this, like, there's so many other movies that he's been in that have been on my list to watch, and it's just going to be so different now watching them. But hopefully, you know, very impactful, and it's just it's not a very happy time in that regards, but appreciate everything that he did for the entertainment business is what I can say.
Yep. Moving on
to some other movie news, which I don't know if you have any.
I had one thing I wanted to bring up, I'll just go ahead and say it. The Suicide Squad trailer dropped not too long ago. Did you watch it?
No. This is the kind of stuff you have to tell me before.
I did not remember it until right now.
Trailers we discussed before, so okay. We both have seen them.
Okay, so there's one thing I will say about this. Well, there's kind of like two trailers. There's one like normal trailer that just kind of shows like, you know, movie stuff. But then there's another one that shows behind the scenes footage and has a bunch of like kind of soft narration by a lot of the cast and James Gunn in it. And it's kind of talking about, like, the making of it, and it's like, oh, this movie is blank. You know, you've seen that kind of trailer before. You know what I'm talking about? Or it's, like, behind the scenes, and it's like, oh, I was so excited on this project. Like, that kind of shit.
It's not
you know
a
what
trailer,
I mean?
But yeah.
Yeah, but it shows footage, but, like, it shows footage of them filming it.
Right.
You know, so it's, like, it's not quite a trailer, but it's promotional material.
Right.
The weird thing about that was that the highlight thing that they kept saying over and over in that trailer, quote unquote, was that how unique this movie was, which it very well could be. But all I'm thinking of, it's based on a movie that came out like 4 years ago.
It's got some
like
of the characters are
four
still there.
Of the same guys in it. And it's like, can it be that unique? Is that what you should really be focusing on? It's like, oh, it's so different. We've never seen anything like it. Bad guys being good. Whoa.
I think they're just really trying to push that it is not
it
the
be
same.
Very good. I get, yeah.
They're trying to push that it's not the same movie we saw before.
Best way they could say that?
No, but all I'm saying is it better not be because.
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't think that they, you know, people in Hollywood never want to come out and like bash anybody else. Usually, they don't usually like bashing other people's work, right?
Right.
So they don't want to, you know, so they couldn't make a trailer that said, this is not going to be like Suicide Squad 2016.
So unique might be the best word they could use.
That's what I'm thinking kind of in a weird way. But it looks very different. And I am excited about it because it does look interesting. But it was just such a strange choice of words. I'll let you watch the trailer and then maybe we can talk about it again later. From the trailer footage I saw, there wasn't a lot to really talk about about it. I still think it's not even going to come out until next year or so. Not a whole lot there right now. We'll just have to wait and see, but it could be interesting.
Yeah, I don't have any strong opinions because I haven't seen it. Better than the first one.
Really. Jesus.
So we talked about this a little bit last week, actually, I think. No, one of the last couple episodes about Mulan, how it was going to be released on Disney Plus.
Yeah, for $30 or whatever.
Yep, and it's going to be on the premiere access. And in front of when it comes out, like,
so it'll be coming out
in
theaters and on Disney Plus for $30 to rent at the same time.
Yes, which was sometime in September, like sometime
early
in
September,
next,
I think.
Close,
right? It's like
couple
next
weeks.
Weekend or something like
something
that.
And I just found 4th. Out that it's going to be free for Disney Plus subscribers in December.
Wow, so not that long.
No, not that long.
Man, paying $30 for that's going to feel a little bad. Especially if I don't absolutely love it.
Well, you're not probably going to pay $30 for it.
Well, I mean, if we reviewed on here, I'll have to watch it.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not even talking about me specifically. I'm just talking about it in general. You know what I mean? If you're just somebody that's like, I paid $30 to watch this.
There's a lot of people that don't.
When I can just wait and watch it for the price I'm already agreeing to pay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel bad when it, like, I was having this conversation. I think I even told you about that. Like, that's how I feel about, like, games nowadays. Like, if there's any video game I want to play, I just wait, like, however long until it's really cheap to play. I'm not paying $60 for anything anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you said Disney Plus and theaters, but I don't think it's coming to theaters.
You don't think it's coming to theaters at all?
Well, last time we talked about it, it was just coming to Disney Plus.
Oh,
as far
really?
As we knew. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. After it's theatrical. No, you're right. It says theatrical and premiere access release, which I don't know what that means, but it makes it sound like it's going to be theaters. Usually when you say
at least some
theatrical
kind of theater release, I don't know.
Like how Tenet's working where it's like select big theaters.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just go widespread with whatever is open. I don't know how they lose. I mean, I don't know if I know quite enough about how distribution deals to say that, but. Ooh, excuse me. But I don't know. I mean, does that do you think, you know, with that price tag and then also it's weird that they would release it's gonna come for free in December. Like, why would they tell people that? That feels like that's gonna discourage people from buying it. They want people to rent it day one, don't they?
Yeah,
like,
I would
if
assume
I'm,
so.
If we weren't doing this podcast, there'd be, well, first of all, I wouldn't rent it anyway or go to the theaters because I'm not that interested, but if I was just a little bit more interested, I may consider renting it, but now that I know it's going to come out in December for a subscription I already have, I'm much more likely to just wait.
For you. There are a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are still going to rent it, and we're going to rent it if it came out free in October or 2 weeks after it came out. But there's also a huge bunch, collection of people in the middle that are like,
I think those people wouldn't do it anyways because they know it's going to come for free at some point. If they're not that interested, if you're interested enough to where, like, I want to see it right now, you're going to buy it. If you're not and we're willing to wait regardless, even if it's December or February, a couple extra months, you probably don't care enough. $30, $30. Sure, it's expensive, but if you and a couple friends are going to watch it together and you split it, it's not that bad to pay. So if you weren't willing to pay $30, whether it comes out in December or February or something like that, I don't think it makes much of a difference.
Yeah, but not knowing, I feel like, helps make that, because then you're just like, well, I don't know what's going to hit. We can speculate, yep. But having a definitive date.
So as far as a business, yeah. But you know what, Disney? Good job. I applaud you for being transparent. For your viewers, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not much. I mean, we talk about how we feel about how that coming out and all that. Just wanted to update that I found out when it's coming out for
Bill and
free.
Ted's, that movie that just came out this past weekend, has also come out on streaming services at the same time.
For monies?
Yeah, so for $20, you can rent it or you can go to the theater. So I'm curious to see. That's kind of the first one that I'm hearing about that's kind of doing the two at once. I don't think there's been another one before that, right? That's done the... I mean, I guess Trolls
was the first one that really did it.
Did they charge? Well, wasn't
yes,
it,
they did.
How much
and
was
that
it?
That was the first one to make people think this could work. I don't remember. I don't care enough,
yeah.
To be honest.
The thing is, I don't know if we can... Because usually you can go on Box Office Mojo and find out what everything made at the box office.
Yeah.
But with online streaming stuff, we don't really know unless they explicitly tell you.
Well, that might be a new... little box for their analytics of how much they make.
Well,
becomes a normal thing.
I don't know if they're required to report it for, like, I don't know why everyone just is super transparent about how much their movie makes on Box Office Mojo, but like Netflix only tells you any details unless they're proud of it. They don't, you know what I mean? Like, they'll tell you, yeah, Bird Box was watched by like 120 million people, but they won't tell you if something does poorly, they won't say it. You know, I mean, they don't release all their numbers is basically my point. So I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Next thing. Apparently, small thing. The Batman trailer has zero CGI, says Jeffrey Wright, from start to finish. Which there were some explosions. There were some cool little fight things and like a car driving through some stuff.
Yeah.
And
I guess that makes sense, though.
All I'm saying, which that doesn't really give us much, is I love practical effects. CGI is fantastic. I don't necessarily say that like you can't have it or I necessarily like one better than the other, but you have to know how to use it. And the fact that they used apparently what they claim is no CGI in the trailer, I think that's some good vibes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm trying to think if there were any shots that like really impressed me that they weren't CGI, because most of what we saw... I mean, I'm glad. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not the first time we've seen in a big. I'm assuming this movie has a pretty large budget.
Right.
I mean, it's a Batman film, and you know, seeing a guy kind of fly away from an explosion, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It's just from what I've seen, it's nothing groundbreaking. I will be curious to see if, and that's it. That's the sentence.
Wow,
I totally forgot. I'm doing a
sound
thing.
Like me.
Yeah, I did the last two episodes. I totally forgot what I was saying. You got anything else?
Yes, I do, actually.
Wow.
The final little piece of news that I have here, which was dropped on a certain somebody's Instagram and also now has a little article about it as well. Tyler Gillette dropped this on his Instagram.
Oh. Okay.
Scream 5. It's a 2022 release date.
Oh, okay. Is that pushed back? Was it supposed to come out next year?
I believe so. Yeah, it was previously targeted for 2021, but the push comes amid the concerns of COVID-19. So, yeah. Scream 5, if you don't know, is directed by Tyler Gillette, one of the directors from a couple things. One of his most recent things is
Ready or Not,
which is a scary movie.
VHS. Yeah, a horror movie director. Horror comedy movie director. I don't... Yeah. I'm not sure which one of those. Either is, well, VHS is definitely horror, but Ready or Not, I don't know.
That is horror comedy. What do you mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just trying to figure out if it's more comedy or more horror.
From a non-horror person, should we be like spoiler warning? Because like, is that part of that movie? Is like you want to go in thinking it's a horror movie, but it's.
Did we? I thought I knew that it was comedy going into it.
The
trailer definitely shows you that it's comedy.
Does it? I didn't think it did.
We remember we watched the trailer and we were like, wow, that showed way too much, first of all, but it also had a bunch of jokes in it.
I don't know. Yeah. It's hard for me to.
No, if you went back and watched it again, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's.
I can tell you it wasn't on the level that I know I can remember that watching the trailer and watching the movie, it was definitely more of a comedy than I realized from the trailer.
Right.
Even if I realized some from the trailer. The only reason that is somewhat relevant is, well, it's a new movie, got a new release date when we haven't talked about.
Yep.
Is just because it has to do with Tyler Gillette, and we knew that he was going to be directing the new Scream 5, and hopefully we can get him on here to talk about it. That would
Fingers
be an awesome.
Fucking crossed.
That would be an awesome thing to do, and maybe talk to him about some other stuff. But if you guys like Scream and you like scary movies
and you like fives,
what
we're just labeling like things
I haven't
like.
Seen any of the other Scream movies. Have you?
I have seen the first one.
Is it terrible?
No,
I don't know. I've heard like not so amazing. Maybe it's
not,
like the
not,
sequels.
It's not what you think it is.
Okay,
because it's very much like in this like genre that of Ready or Not is. It's like a horror comedy.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like kind of spoofing on the whole horror movie genre type thing. Not so much like the scary movies were. Like that's obviously totally in the comedy ridiculous side of it. Like they're still trying to do horror, but it's not as serious as you
okay.
know.
Okay. Well, then I have
stuff.
Some I got hope then.
Yep.
I got hope.
I'm sure most of them are terrible. I mean, there's been four of them. And there's going to be a fifth. I mean, no series is good enough has that kind of track record.
Well, it's been a long time since the last Scream's come out, so hopefully
yeah,
they
like
can
08 or something.
Hopefully they can revive it into something like at least
something
make this
new.
Movie good. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. So that's all the movie news that I have. As you can see from the title of this,
picking up 2011. Okay. Yeah.
As you can see from the title of this episode, we are talking about New Mutants, which was one of the few movies that is being released to theaters. They're starting to release movies again.
Super surprised. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep.
If you were just like, sorry. What did we talk about on the Thursday release?
Yeah, it was our last episode. Yeah. Our last episode, we talked about how there are new movies coming out, surprisingly kind of out of nowhere, that they are starting to release movies to theaters again.
Right.
And one of those is New Mutants. It's the first one that came out close to us. This movie was postponed and pushed back, I think, four different times just because they're in this production nightmare of...
First trailer came out in 2017.
So, very long time
yeah.
that this whole thing was kind of in production, and I heard they had to do reshoots and or at least possibility of reshoots. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they swapped directors. I don't want to tell you what actually happened because all I know that it was so much of a jumbled mess that every time I heard about it, it just sounded like there was something else wrong with it.
I don't think they changed directors because when I looked at this guy, something Boone, he was like writer and director on it, and he has been behind it, like as far as I'm aware, throughout the entire thing. Josh Boone, who also directed the movie The Fault in Our Stars, weirdly enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. But not a whole lot else. A couple other things. Nothing too big that I saw. But
This movie is, if you don't know, is mutants are superheroes. They're X-Men,
yeah,
basically. That's what X-Men are.
X-Men franchise.
Yeah, X-Men are mutants.
Comic of the same name.
Right.
One of them, at least.
And so it is a kind of, I don't want to say soft reboot, but I think that's what people, I think it was, okay, so well, I think it was kind of confusing as far as New Mutants. People thought it might be kind of a soft reboot with Hugh Jackman kind of. Not in the picture anymore as Wolverine. So like to maybe reboot it into like same similar universe kind of thing, but introducing new characters in this kind of new way. There are rumors that maybe New Mutants will be connected to the Marvel, the MCU, once they bought, because Marvel bought Fox.
Yep.
So they have rights to X-Men. So that's when they said when things were happening again, they might have to do reshoots. Maybe they'll try to tie into that.
All right. So can I Because I actually know, because you haven't seen any of the X-Men.
That's not true. So I haven't, for some reason.
The original, like the 2000.
I love superheroes and Marvel superheroes. And for some reason, the X-Men is just that group of like those movies that I've never seen all of them. I've seen X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is is regarded as one of the worst ones, and Logan. And then I've seen parts of First Class, but I've not seen the whole thing.
So, the X-Men timeline is fucking messy as hell.
Oh, I know.
So, the X-Men 1, 2, and 3 from the 2000s, that was kind of the OG timeline. And then they went on to, like, First Class, which is those characters when they're younger in the 60s. And then you have Days of Future Past, where you have the old characters. So you have Patrick Stewart and you know, all those, and Ian McKellen and all those guys from the original timeline in the future. And they send Wolverine back in time to the 60s, 70s to interact with the First Class guys. And then kind of much, you know, clash into. And then you have Apocalypse, which is kind of a continuation of that timeline of like the 70s. So it's got James McAvoy playing a young Patrick Stewart and then all the new guys. And then, let's see, then. But then Logan comes out somewhere in between there. And then Dark Phoenix kind of finishes all that off. But Logan comes out. And Logan is...
almost its own thing.
It's in the future
so much,
as well. Yep. But it's only... It's tied because it's, you know... Hugh Jackman's playing Wolverine, same guy. And so is Patrick Stewart still playing Professor X. But it's off in the future when they're old. And it's got like their own kind of timeline as well. And this movie, The New Mutants, is related to Logan, but not anything else. Which is weird because they reference the X-Men. But in the Logan timeline, the X-Men don't really exist, if I'm not mistaken. Like, Patrick Stewart dies in Logan, and I'm assuming this is around that time, and he's definitely not in the X-Men anymore.
I've only seen Logan once,
basically.
And it was years ago.
Yeah.
So I think that it is related to that.
And I know it is. I've watched it like 4 times, yeah.
Okay, so I was going to say,
that footage that they show on the... I knew it instantly, and they even showed the girl.
I haven't seen it.
She's in there.
Right, I haven't seen it in years, and I thought that it was closely related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe they were talking about they don't want to be X-Men. Like, they were talking about raising a new generation of X-Men because the X-Men were like this past group of mutants. You know what I mean? And that's why it was kind of more weird to be a mutant again.
Well, doesn't she say the line like, in this movie, she's like, who do you think are superiors? Isn't it obvious? Like, have you heard of the X-Men? And it's like, are they implying that Professor X is the, because he's gone and or old and crazy like that?
We're breaking down a little bit.
This timeline is fucked.
We're breaking down. That is the least of this movie's problems.
Oh yeah,
we
are
jumping a little bit too much around. I feel like to quickly recap basically the movie, it's about well, there's a main character, but like a girl who's 16 years old, and it follows her to kind of one of her first encounters of her powers. She doesn't know what's going on. Then she gets sent to this, or almost basically kidnapped, in this location, which is a facility to help new mutants who are discovering their powers, help them discover their powers, figure out what they are, kind of what they're thought to be doing is training them to be better. They don't know exactly for what. They haven't really been told exactly what for. They kind of implied that it was to kind of be the next X-Men or whatever, to basically use their powers for good. There's a total of 5 kids who all have these mutant powers. Mm-hmm. They're all different, and they're basically in this place that is they've kind
like
of
a hospital.
Yeah, it seems like this very run down just hospital where they feel kind of trapped and aren't really sure of exactly what's going on there. They have to figure that out along the way, and I think that's pretty much it without going into any spoilers.
Yeah, it's a pretty vague description, but yeah. But
that's how I felt about this movie. When we watched it, I was like, what is the point of this movie? For the first 70% of this movie, I was like, what's the point?
It's technically a horror film, I guess. That's the genre it claims it is. And it has scary elements, quote unquote. But it's anything.
So they run into issues and problems as they're discovering their own powers.
Yeah,
and as every movie, there's some kind of events that unfold that they learn more about what's going on, and they have to make decisions on what to do.
Being so vague at this point.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But that's the point. Is this movie is so vague, not only in its story, but in the way they present their characters and everything else. It is so cliche.
You're getting into your hot take. Okay.
It's so cliche. And yeah, so that's what the movie's about. Now we're going to get into our hot takes and then go into...
Feels like you started.
This is the worst movie I've seen this year.
Easily. Fucking easily the worst movie I've seen this year. Maybe in the last 2 years. I don't fucking know. If we weren't doing this podcast, I would have walked out.
Yes.
Holy
this
shit.
This is the only... This might be the only movie that I have ever seen in theaters that I can say have got up halfway through and left if we didn't have to do the podcast. And I...
If that's
for
not...
a movie to be that bad, you know me. Like, I am like, sit through it, stick to it.
Yeah,
movie experience. I love the movie going experience.
Well, I just want to get my value. I'm like, I spent $10. No way I'm walking out on the... No.
Like, it was that... No. Yeah, it was... The podcast value. The money I spent on this movie...
Yeah.
Watching it for... we'll say it got to... Because, you know, there's always hope that it'll get better. Mm-hmm. Let's say probably the 35% mark. Not even halfway.
Yeah.
35% mark, maybe. That's when I decided... We have 65% of this movie left. If the rest of this is amazing, still not worth my $10. That is when I capped out with my money. When I said, nah. At that point, I was like, I could walk out. The only reason I'm here is for this.
Yeah.
This, if I have to go to the bathroom during a movie, I freaking hold it. To be fair, there was a more intense scene happening, so I held it for that little bit. But in my head, I go, cool, once this is over, I'm going to the bathroom.
Out like 3 minutes before it ended.
but that's regardless. Because for some reason, walking into this movie, I thought it was 2.5 hours, but it was only an hour 45. So I was like, we still got another hour. I was like, I'll at least wait for this intense part to be over, and I'll go to the bathroom. I could not have cared less about going to the bathroom during the middle of this.
Oh, yeah.
And if I went to sit down, because it was kind of the end and wrapping up, and I probably still would have wanted to know what's going on, but I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, come down, and Nate's going to try to whisper in my ear, like, oh, this is what happens. And I was going to be like, I don't care. Just let's keep watching. Like, I don't care.
I wasn't going to. Yeah, no. In this, I was like, who cares? I don't know what's happening. No one does.
The
it's
only
dumb.
Reason I asked what happened is because I walked in, they said one last line, and then credits rolled. I was like, oh, I missed something. I was like, spoiling it. There was a lot of reasons I did not like this movie, and it had to do with everything.
honestly.
The story, the characters, the way that it was written was so cliche and felt like they were just telling the people to act out like, oh, you have to be upset at her.
Mm-hmm.
Go. No, like we didn't get backstories well enough. We didn't get any sort of anything to make me feel about anything that was going on or make me care about anything going on.
Usually,
that's all I'm going to say because I have so much more to say.
We're pretty, you know, fair, I think, usually. Maybe you more than me. I could be more critical. But I think, you know, usually we end up saying, like, even if we don't like it, we're like, you know, go see it for yourself. Like, kind of, you know, if you have any interest in blank, maybe you'll like this, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you flat out. This is for no one. No group will benefit from seeing this.
Now, okay.
If you like the original comic or just X-Men in general, you'll hate it.
You didn't read the original comic, so you can't really have a fair stance on that.
No, I can tell you because it's a bad fucking movie. So that's all you need to know.
Well, okay, no. There's a weird bit of pleasure that you might be able to have with it being a bad movie, but still seeing your character that you've seen come to life in a way that you still, it's interesting enough for you to go see for yourself, even if you think it's bad.
If anything like this movie,
the comic's
anything,
garbage.
You're a bad person. You are a bad person for liking it.
Do not condone that.
No, but if you like some of the actors in this, because a lot of them are popular, you have the chick from Game of Thrones, you have the Anya Taylor-Joy has been in a bunch of movies like Split and stuff like that, and the kid that's the blonde chick.
Oh, okay.
And you have the kid from Stranger Things, the older kid who's in it as well. If you like those three actors, you're like, maybe I'll watch a movie. I like those
guys.
It is
not worth the actors.
Do not know.
If anything, it'll probably
ruin it for them. I love Anya Taylor-Joy. She's attractive. And she's my age. She's not 16 like she is in the movie, okay? man. Oh, my God. I hate her now. This movie ruined her.
That's the thing is I cannot... judge the actors on this
because
I'm thinking about how terribly it was written.
At least three of them in other things where they are much better. It's just the writing is so bad. You know whose fault it is? Fucking Boone. This fault in our stars, motherfucker. That's whose fault it is.
So let me tag off of what you said about how we're pretty fair of like go see it for yourself.
Yep.
Nate says, Nate's not fair at that. Nate always says, you're fair about some things, but not the go see it for yourself. If you think it's terrible, you're going to tell people not to see it.
Yeah, don't watch it.
I am on the side of...
I think that's fair.
I am on the side of go see it for yourself in most situations. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to say never, but there are, I am struggling to think of a reason. As the person that always says... You have your own opinion. Go see it for yourself. Granted, yes, of course, have your own opinion. If you want to see it, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm heavily endorsing this more than any other movie of it's just not worth it.
It's really not. It's like but there's worse movies, right? Like there's like The Room or, you know, fucking Gremlin, you know, all that kind of shit. But even those would be fun with your buddies to like tear apart. And maybe this one would be too. If we had the theater to ourselves, maybe we would have had.
There was one point that I was trying to tell you about something and I couldn't stop laughing. That was the most enjoyable part of the movie.
And there are some like things that are just so bad it's ironically funny. But man,
but
this is
not. Not enough to make it enjoyable throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, not enough, man. You still got to sit through all the other crap. It's just, honestly, even if you come across it and it's free on Netflix at some point, which I'm sure it will be soon, I don't even think it's worth it then.
Well, the thing is, we can say that. The thing is, I know how I feel before I see movies and people say they're complete garbage. I've seen plenty of movies that people say are complete garbage, whether I agree or not. I'm like, well, that's great with what you think. So I know I don't want anybody to take, no matter how bad a movie is, I do have to settle on, I am not going to fully endorse not watching it for yourself.
I'm going to fully endorse that.
He can, but my point is this is probably the closest I've ever been, and maybe ever will be to saying that, but I'm not going to because I do think you should.
Well, I'm just saying, it's not like, I feel like a lot of times there are movies that are not up our alley. You know, they have things that like, they're on subject matter that we're just like, I don't really care about that. Right. You know what I mean? Like musicals for me or, you know, something like that. This should be up our alley. Superheroes,
man,
X-Men,
mine specifically.
This should be up our alley.
This is the worst movie I've seen this past year, and this is a superhero movie. Yeah. Look around this room, like this is. It's rough. And what I will say, if obviously watching it, what I can say about opinions of whether you should see it or not, if that is what you come to this podcast for, then I want to be fair enough to say that it was definitely not worth the money. And if you're worried about the money being... Wait till it is free or cheaper.
Trust me, in like 3 weeks, this will be on a streaming service. I guarantee it. Because no one's watching this. No one's going to see it. We saw it
in a theater, there were three groups.
2 days, and we were one of three groups.
Right. It was me and you. Yeah. It was some dude and some chick, I guess, on a date or something.
And then a small family.
Rough date.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like a family dynamic of like four people.
Oof, it was bad. It was real bad. But if you're like, well, you hate it, blah, blah, blah. We're going to prove it. I feel like we are going to do a good job proving this because we're going to spend the next however long tearing it apart for every reason why it's bad.
-7/10. All right, let's go into spoilers.
Yep, spoilers from here on out, but who cares? You shouldn't.
I know we always end up talking about movies longer than I think, but going into this, I'm like, how long can I talk about how bad this is? Like, yeah, it's bad, but like once I say the main reasons, it's just example on top of example on top of example, and I'm just going to run myself dry.
It does seem like it stays being bad for the same reasons over and over and over again. I guess
it might be a shorter episode because of that. Who knows? I say that now, but
to begin off, I think this movie's biggest problem, just to throw it on out there, is the writing, right? From not only from just how the plot is written, because it doesn't make any sense, but also dialogue between characters is awful.
So bad.
They do this weird thing where they just kind of say almost like lines to each other, like they know they're in a movie. You know what I mean? Especially like first, you know, one of the earlier times I remember thinking about is when the girl from Game of Thrones is saving the main Native American girl from jumping off the bell tower.
Yeah.
And she's saying lines like, "You calling me a nobody?" Like it's weird shit like that. That's just odd that people don't say in real life, and it's very clear. But it also does this thing where when characters are talking to each other, they act like they've known each other way longer than they have. This movie takes place over like a week, I mean, it's hard to tell, but it's not very long. And two characters fall madly in love with each other. And like halfway through the movie, they're like acting like they've known each other for years. They, you know what I'm talking about, kind of a deal. So it's just very strange.
I don't know how they talk to each other.
And like their weird camaraderie when they, none of these people know each other really.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that stuff is always not as relatable if they have feelings for each other too fast.
It's just wrong. People will talk to each other like that.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a flaw. But even like there's a way you could make that work where it's like you're the only people that you guys have and a relationship forms fast because it feels like you like they're the only people that you have, I guess. But
yeah, but don't if you can have a relationship in 3 days.
My issue is how they talk to each other. There's no chemistry. So if there's no chemistry, no matter how long you know each other, it doesn't matter. It's just it's bad. What was I going to say? Oh, this movie feels like the problems that was stated before. It feels like a movie that had so many issues that it got pushed back so many times because there was a lot of issues to where they got to the point where they said, especially when it's an hour and 45 minute movie, I don't know if this has any real like hold on what I'm saying and actual like substance behind it. Where a longer movie has to be better because that's not necessarily true. But
I feel like the longer a movie is, generally, the more faith the studio has in it.
Right. So that's my point is it feels like they just cut out what they needed to cut out. Mm-hmm. They put into a movie form and they just said after it being pushed for so long, they said, we don't care. Put it out.
Yeah.
We don't care anymore. And so they did that. And because it was only an hour and 45 minutes, I don't know why, but that felt like it had some stake in it. Like if it was, if they could have made something better and longer, they would have, but they just, they gave up. It felt like they gave up at an hour 45.
Well, yeah, I don't know what this movie maybe was originally before all these problems, but it feels like it was doomed from the start just because let's go over like kind of the plot of this movie and just talk about how it's just so odd and doesn't make I hate saying it over and over again, but this really doesn't make any sense. You have a girl, she had an experience, she's a mutant, and she, you don't know this off the start, but basically your whole family and all of her community dies in a tornado, which ended up being her summoning her demon bear that kills everybody, which okay, sure, let's put a pin in the demon bear for a bit.
Can she we shows not up, she, I will because y'all want
she
you to
shows
finish.
Up at the hot at this hospital where this movie takes place, and it's this big ass, like a weird rundown asylum looking hospital, and there's one doctor in this whole place. And so obviously right off the bat you're like, okay, there's one doctor running this thing. Is it like a weird, like, I'm holding you hostage, like you're not supposed to be here type of a thing? Sort of, but she's really just being sponsored by a mega corporation. So why they wouldn't send, oh, I don't know, more than one person, not even just one doctor, one person, no nurses, no orderlies, no security, nothing. It's just her. And she has to be monitoring these kids 24/7. So, I mean, there's a few times you see her asleep in her chair, but like, when was she supposed to sleep? And she's maintaining a barrier around the premise to keep them all in, like with her mutant
powers, like force fields.
She can do that forever. When she sleeps, she's maintaining a force field barrier. I mean, it's not the craziest thing, but it's a little stupid. Why would a company, especially the big mega company that they show that is taking in mutant kids and using them as weapons or whatever, why would they send one person to do this job?
Let's address that, too. What we meant by, without giving any spoilers, how this was connected to Logan was at the end of Logan.
Yep.
There's a facility that's like taking in like new mutant kids.
It's more, they don't really, it's very side thing. It's basically the backstory of X-23 or X-24. It's the little girl Laura who has the same abilities as Logan does, the Wolverine. She came from one of those labs, and you see in some cell phone footage, you know, the lab stuff, and you see that same cell phone footage in this movie. So yeah, they're tied in, but yeah, they never like go there or anything in the movie. So it's one of those, but it's clearly set up to be a company that has a lot of resources and is, you know, has a lot of control over mutant kids. So why are five kids being treated in a massive abandoned asylum for this company by one doctor? Why would you write that?
And it
could
was,
they not afford more actors?
And it was very apparent that she was the one. Once you saw the force field around the place, and then later you see her use the force field when she saves the main character from being brutally murdered by the other girl. her force field is exactly the same. And I go, cool, she's the one that's keeping them in with the force field. at that moment, after you know how badly they hate them or how badly they hate her, mm-hmm. and all these other, except for the main girl, all the other mutant kids knew that it was her who was had the force field.
Yeah.
Why didn't they kill her? I understand everybody of why they wouldn't, except for the blonde girl,
yeah,
who has already killed multiple people,
yeah.
Has given no reason as to why she murdered them. She's very proud of it. Mm-hmm. She absolutely almost kind of threatens this lady like she should be killed because she's imprisoning them. There's no reason she can't kill her. None. They just,
well,
she just didn't
she's
even
got
try.
The barriers which can stop her sword. So, I mean, it's not like it would be easy to kill her necessarily. The barriers do pose a problem. They don't seem to be able to get out of them.
They get so close.
But
so where she grabs and puts her in
the movie,
and she
they
just
knock
screams.
Her out.
Right. She just screams.
Could have just stabbed her right then.
But when she grabs her and puts her in isolation
yeah.
multiple times, the girl just screams.
Yeah,
where
she just acts like a little girl opposed to being a powerful, weird, I don't
know, but
whatever
again,
she is.
But that's my point. You're saying it wouldn't be easy with the force fields? Yeah, if she was ready for the fight. But if this doctor is so trusting in these kids that they're just going to like grab them by the arm and throw them in isolation, she grabs her, she just goes, mm-hmm. stab, grabs her. It's just... She didn't even try. Like,
also,
that makes no
the
sense.
The blonde girl can teleport. How is she locked in isolation? She's locked in there like twice in this movie. She can teleport anywhere she wants, including maybe big thought here. Outside the barrier? Big problem with this movie. One of the main characters can just leave anytime, and they are definitely the person they would. She cares about no
That's
one else
the
until
deeper
the
meaning.
End.
She has nowhere to go, so
wow.
she stays.
Wow, except when they leave, apparently they go somewhere. I don't know.
Because that's her family, and now she can leave.
God. And
family.
This movie is also all the characters. One big thing that bothered the fuck out of me, I don't know if this bothered you. Three of the main characters are doing whack ass accents, and they're terrible.
They're
all so bad. The Game of Thrones girl is doing this weird Irish Catholic accent that she weaves in and out of. Sometimes she'll be like, and then other times she'll talk normally. I couldn't understand. I was trying to figure out for the longest time what she was doing until they started talking about Catholic stuff. And I was like, okay, this must be Irish. But that's the only indication I know that this is supposed to be an Irish accent. And fuck it, which is so weird because in Game of Thrones, she kind of comes from like sort of an UK Irish like kind of mixed background.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like her father is Ned Stark, which is Sean Bean, who is an Irish actor who does his normal Irish accent in the show. So it's like, feel like you should kind of know better how to do this.
It did feel like she was like in and out of it. Now,
and Anya Taylor-Joy is doing that terrible Russian accent that's super bad, and her last name is Rasputin. Really? You couldn't come up with any other Russian better names?
I'm okay with names because, again, if it's based on a comic, that's the names.
Well, it's dumb in the comic.
Again, I'm okay with that. The names, whatever. But
and then I got to talk about these accents. The Stranger Kids, the guy, is doing this, like,
that's the one I was
going to
talk about.
Super rednecky accent. He's like, I'm down American. I came from the mines. Had to quit high school.
I know people that talk like that. I'm okay with that.
No,
I'm okay with it.
I know people.
I'm okay. Listen, I'm okay with it if he was consistent with it. But sometimes it was so over the top you couldn't even hear what he was saying, which was not consistent.
Yeah,
I was talking
that's
before.
My point. It's a real accent. It's just really well badly done.
Again, it's consistency because I've heard people talk like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying the accent doesn't exist. I'm saying he did a shit ass job at doing it,
which I think is mainly the consistency point.
Yeah. I mean, that's with all of them pretty much, except the Russian and that's mostly him. The Russian and the Irish thing were just bad. Just bad. I don't know why they felt like they had to. Just don't have them do accents. You heard that on set. You heard them do those accents, and then you thought, you know what? Scrap the whole thing. Nah, we don't need them. Yikes, man. Big yikes on this movie.
Ugh. I'm really trying to figure out where to, like, not start, but where to pick up.
So
let's say this again. I said this before we went into the spoilers. The writing's bad. The story's bad. The acting is bad because of the writing, choose to believe, because it seemed like
I've seen these people be good in other things.
It seems like they were telling them to, like I said before, is, hey, you, say this line, be angry. And that's it. They
one
have no,
take,
re- they have
one
no
take.
Reason to. Why? They have no they have no reason why they're supposed to be angry, whether it's they were not being told or the character itself doesn't even have any motivation to be angry.
Yep.
It's just everything was so generic and fell so flat. and like the cliches of how the characters were acting. Gosh. Like the rich guy with a popped collar. Yeah,
he's going to be the douche. Chick was going to be crazy bitch, for lack of a better term. Stereotype. Then you're going to have the shy kid, and then you're going to have the nice person who introduces the new person who's kind of the audience's, you know, introduction to all these characters. You know, so Game of Thrones Chick was kind of like that nice stereotype that's kind of like introducing the new character to everybody. Yeah, the shy kid who was Stranger Things kid, and then you have obviously rich douchebag, and then Anya Taylor-Joy, who was like the crazy asshole character. Yeah. It was just super stereotypical high school bullshit.
I wish I could think of exact examples, but just the amount of times that they did things that were so stereotypical of those stereotypes, mm-hmm. especially like the crazy chick, just the amount of things that she tried to do. And
the amount
of
lines she has that are so bad. Oh my God.
It was so rough. But there was a point to this that I was getting to, and I don't remember exactly what it was. But like I was saying, the pop collar for the rich guy, the crazy person, like way over the top crazy. Mm-hmm. There were just so many. It's not even so many instances. It was just the whole movie. The entire way they acted was so stereotypical and cringy throughout the entire thing. And then I was going to go into something else, but I'll give it off to you because my mind's just blank. I don't know how long I can talk about this because it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, I do have something.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Something that bothered me from the start was, and maybe this has to do with the comics, maybe her character was explained to have this prophecy of the bears or whatever.
No, don't give them that.
Okay. No, listen to me here.
Yeah.
Listen to me. The bears.
Mm-hmm.
The prophecy of the two bears at the beginning of the movie, I leaned over to you
mm-hmm.
because I said the prophecy of the bears is that one represents all your evil and anger and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then another represents all the good. And as a person, whether you kind of grow into a good person or a bad, it all depends on which one you feed.
Yep. That's literally the last line of the movie.
So at the beginning of the movie, yep. I said it depends on which one you feed. But they didn't address that till right. the end. Have you ever heard that before, that proverb?
I feel like I have somewhere.
I have heard it a mm-hmm. few times before.
Yep.
I have never, ever, ever heard of it as bears. I have always,
what is it?
Every single time I've heard it as two wolves. Oh. And I said that at the beginning of the movie. Mm. Maybe you didn't hear me. I was like, I thought it was two wolves. So I don't know why this bothers me so much. Everywhere I've tried to look it up, it says two wolves on every place. Every single place. So it seems like they couldn't even get the... like the proper so okay an old ch- and it's Indian based I say Native, Native American, American but yeah. they use the term Indian
oh yeah I guess they do
it's Native American based. It says an old Cherokee teaching his grandson, he says
she wasn't
terrible,
Cherokee by the way.
No, I know, but Native American. Yeah. That's where this come from.
No,
comes
I know, I'm saying the movie's wrong. She wasn't
well, that,
even
that may have been some weird off branch that they didn't want to like they wanted to make their own tribe for the comics or something.
No,
maybe they
she's
did.
A real tribe. She I can't remember what she said, but it was a real tribe. It just wasn't
I just
Cherokee.
Don't remember what it was. So even if it was real, that might have been comic book based, regardless. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, they says there's a terrible fight in between is between two wolves. One is evil, blah 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 blah, one is good, and the same fight's going on inside you and every other person, and the kid goes, which wolf will win? And he says, the one you feed. I can't find anywhere where, and I even search
where it says bears.
I say two bears, which one you feed, to give it even more of a chance to find it. Can't find it anywhere. Right. I don't know why that bothered me the whole movie. Like, what, because the girl turned into a wolf? That was her power? That it would get too confusing if there were two wolves? Is that why? They wanted the visual of a giant bear? I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it did. It's like, after all the other things you got wrong, you couldn't even get the proverb right. And I'm not trying to offend. If there are any like people that are listening to this that are of some sort of Native American descent, and you have heard of this, but you've heard it as bears, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it exists. But the majority of where I've heard it is about two wolves.
Does seem like a small thing to get upset about.
I know. I don't know why. It's just a cherry on top.
I, you know, there was one scene that like really like made me upset. Was like his, there's a bunch of, so this movie is a horror movie, but it's not. It's a very strange thing. Basically, the main character has not only the ability of this giant demon bear that's like the representation of all her fear.
It's her
physical
ability.
manifestation of all of her fear.
It is, yeah. She is able to
and it comes,
manifest
but
people's
it comes
fears.
Out when she's in trouble. So it's like protecting her, but also just destroying everything. It's a very strange...
It seems like she can't control it, and when she's in a emotional state, it comes
in
out.
Distress, so I'm sure
she,
yeah.
So, and it might come out of the people that's around, because she can't control it. So that makes sense.
No idea why it came out in the beginning of the movie. She was just sleeping. I don't think she was in any distress.
That day, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Also, it's very strange
It's like puberty. They said it's like puberty. When you're young, sometimes you just... You like things you don't know. You're like, what's happening to my body? Why am I just so...
This is an example of what I like to call bad writing.
The movie New Mutants?
Yes. Is when you have... You know, when... So you have... This character has this brand new mutant ability that ostensibly no one else in the world has or ever has. Maybe you have, but I don't know. But... And then you have her... Before her mutant ability ever presents itself, her dad has kind of based her whole character around these bears that are inside of her that kind of dominated her life. And so somehow her father in the story has like... As... related this story about two bears, one being good, one being bad, battling over your soul, and it's actually the truth. She really has a bear that comes out and is battling for her soul. It's like, what the fuck? That's dumb, okay? What are the odds? What are the odds? What? It's like if my mom was, when I was two, was trying to get me to poop in the toilet, and so she told me, listen, if you don't poop in the toilet, the poop's gonna come after you. The poop man's coming. And then my mutant power was, when I got scared, the poop man came after me. The fuck? That's dumb.
It doesn't have to do. It's not coincidence. It's the relation. It's whatever your fear is. So if your fear was the poop, then the poop's coming alive.
No, I'm just saying that somehow he got that down. So you're saying
he created her fear?
No, I'm saying that it is coincidental. You're saying it's not coincidental. How?
No, because her ability is to physically manifest people's fears, and her fear is.
Her fear is actually the bear?
So, yeah, I think I know
what
you're saying.
She's actually scared of bears.
What I'm getting from this, again, this is bad. I'm trying to dig deep here. What I'm getting from this is that from a young age, any of her fears and anxiety or whatever, because at a young age she was told this proverb about the bears, any of her fear and anxiety, no matter what it's directly related to, like real life scenarios, like all the other characters have like real life scenarios that aren't
there. Yeah, or trauma. Yeah.
Right. So all of her fears and real life anxiety or all of that stuff, she automatically, because she was learned or taught this as a kid, imagines it as a physical representation of this bear. You know what I mean? Like her father instilled the image of the bear. Right. So that is what is all of her fears are the bear.
Strange, because that's not really how fear, like everyone else had, you know, obviously the power of her thing making physical representations of fear was powerful because they were actually things that really scared them. Her just creating a big ass bear that's tearing shit up. I understand how she's been bottling up and picturing in her mind as a bear, but she's not actually afraid of bears.
Right, I understand what you're saying. It's like
that doesn't really track.
It's like all
I get what you were trying to do, but you failed.
It's like all of if the other characters, like the blonde chick who had all those creepy smiley people coming after her.
No idea what the fuck that was about.
So regardless, whole other topic.
Yep.
But instead of those specific things, because that's what she's scared of, it's like a giant cloud. A giant evil black cloud coming after her that represents all of her fears. And the demon people are a part of that cloud, but you don't see the demon people. They're just a part of the cloud because that's her fear.
But almost it's almost like she's afraid of fear.
Right. Yes, I know what you're saying.
No, dumb.
I know what you're saying.
I'm still holding by it. I get what you're saying. It's not as coincidental.
No, but it's a problem.
It is still coincidental because what are the odds that you have this whole fear proverb that kind of like takes over your young life, and then also you have this mutant ability that is all about fear. But
it was all for the it was all for the proverb. Yeah. It was all for the
it was all for that weak ass tie back, so that you know the fucking writers of this bullshit can jerk themselves off with the idea that they tied it all together by the end.
Oh my gosh! And the way they tied it together when she was like on the brink of dying and they were trying to wake her up, but she was in her like middle state where she's trying to wake up.
She's
and
like
then she runs back to the tree. And then she hides and her dad shows up in her mind and it was like, I can't do it. The bear's too big. And he goes, you're bigger. I'm like, this is so
That's
bad.
That's such a bad line.
It's so, I'm like, well, she's bigger. Not, but I know
you're
what
bigger?
You mean.
You're bit. What? Bigger than what? What do you mean?
Bigger than her fears. But it was just, it felt like they were trying to like grab your hand and walk you through. Like, we know that the idea is that you're bigger than your fears, and that's what she's going to try to overcome.
It's just such a bad line.
But when you say it, and when you say it in a way that just is so poorly written. Mm-hmm. It's like double like movie sins, right? Yep. It's that you're walking us through it, which we get it, but it's also you're walking us through it in a way that you've written it to be walked through in a way that is so poorly written.
If you're going to have one of those lines where like it's like a dramatic one-off that's going to change how a character like perceives a situation, like that line is, right? Like that totally, you know, that gave her, apparently gave her the courage to end the problem. It's got to be a good fucking line in a movie, just because that has been so done now that I need to be blown away in order for that to work.
Everything
that's
this movie,
the opposite. It did the opposite of that.
Everything of this movie has been done.
I was
everything.
Underblown by this.
I've been sucked.
I've been I don't know, reverse blown by this situation. Oh god.
No, yeah, that's the whole problem I had with the entire plot and the way that everything like evolved. I felt like I was watching like a basic intro of how a plot's supposed to be put together. In a way like that was still
really
bad and
basic.
Didn't make sense.
Yes.
But yet at the same time felt like I understood where the like that it was supposed to be a very like a structured plot, but without a clear end goal. Yes. Like at the beginning of this movie, I had no idea. Like I didn't know the purpose. I was like, why are we like what is the purpose of this movie? Then you find out obviously it's they're stuck in this place that is evil, which again, one has been done before, but two, could you have made it more apparent? Like why, if you're going to capture kids and put them through a program like this, especially if you want them to believe it's for their own good, putting them in a place that is so terrifying, the way that it looks, the way that it feels.
It's an abandoned asylum, basically. There's even like one hallway they push her down on a gurney with like flickering lights. I'm like, what? There's no actual reason this place should be the way that it is. There's no, the only reason that she's the only doctor there is just so that, because if there was a bunch of orderlies and nurses running around, one, that would be expensive, and two, it would take away from the fear of this movie. Yeah. That it couldn't be a horror movie if there's a bunch of nurses running around, you know, doing doctor shit or, you know, doing
everything,
hospital stuff.
I think the main part of this problem of this movie is that there's this big flashlight that they're shining in your face, which is basically I had a word that I was looking for. I keep drawing blanks every time we record. I don't understand. But basically, they're shoving in your face and shining this in your face of things that are supposed to serve a purpose to make you feel a certain way, but they're doing it so blatantly, like shining that light into your face, like this is supposed to be creepy, and you know, and it's supposed to serve a purpose, but they're doing it so blatantly and so poorly that it's doing the exact opposite. Like they're overblowing it like crazy, and it just it does the exact opposite. Like they push you to the edge and shove you over the edge. They throw you over the edge like far. It's so bad.
So there's a thing this movie does, because it's technically in the horror genre, that is a big problem for a lot of I see this a lot in a lot of like supernatural, like ghost horror movies, where a character by themselves will go through a like paranormal or some kind of scary event, and then they'll just be done, and then they'll just blow it off until the end of the movie, because the movie wants scary things to happen, but it doesn't want the characters to have to go through and address it to each other. Right. Like it happened in this when what's that kid touched the washing machine and saw his like origin story, basically. That happens like in the first third of the movie and isn't talked about again until the very end of this movie. Yeah. And it happens to like pretty much all the characters have like a horror event that's being caused by the main character, and they never talk about it. So it's just like these weird, artificially inserted, awkward horror scenes, and they're all really like poorly done. I love how like the people who made this movie think that miners in the modern day are just a bunch of guys with pickaxes going at brick walls. Like, what? That's not how mining is done. This isn't dwarves and goblin time. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, these, and when they try to make us care about each person because of what they've been through, didn't work at all. Because again, when they stereotype people like this, that's not how people are.
Yeah.
People are intricate. Like they have their own,
they're complicated.
Are complicated. They have their own intricate, experiences and details about themselves that shape them into who they are. And when you just throw stereotypes of people at us and then say, but care about them because they went through this, I'm going to go, I don't care about this person.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. You didn't give me any intricacies. It almost had a very similar vibe to why, for me, one of the reasons why Justice League didn't work, which is you introduce us to this group of people,
yep,
and then you want us to care about them so much, and you have to shove in kind of why we're supposed to without giving us the time and the intricacies to actually do that.
I mean, you know, people can seem in real life like they're one-sided. Everyone's known a guy who they referred to as the asshole or crazy or, you know, one of these just one-word adjectives. But if you actually, you know, any of those people, if you knew them, have much more going on in their real lives than they do. So when you have main characters in a movie and all of their entire personality is asshole until the end of the movie where all of a sudden they're working as a team, even though the entire movie they've been working against the interest of the other main characters. And for some reason they just, I'm on your team now. I'm a courageous hero now. What? That's just blatantly bad. And you're just shoving it in our face. Right.
There's nuance acting too. So even if you have a stereotypical character who's entertaining because they're a stereotype, you have to know they're entertaining because of the stereotype. Not you have to, like, it's not that they're entertaining like based around their stereotype, it's because they are the stereotype that they're funny or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, Biff from this, Back to the Future could be kind of the that's a comedy, obviously very different style here, but
again, there's nuance acting, as in when kind of reading between the lines of what they're saying, or even reading in between the lines of what they're saying, what the actors are saying, what the characters are saying, even if you don't get all the backstory, it's how they act during the lines that seem to trigger things in their past, even if they never specifically address it, which I feel like, again, these actors didn't get enough to play with because it was so written poorly that even the lines were so stereotypical that they weren't even given enough to work with for their lines that can they can show the nuance acting from, like, even the small things that they can do that, like, oh, well, this triggered me, and you might not know exactly why, but you can kind of in your head build a little bit of who this character is based on the situations that they're placed in, even if you don't know the situation that originally happened, like, before the actual film. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they just didn't even get the chance to do that. I don't know.
I will say, it's so funny. So New Mutants, these all these different characters have, you know, pretty different powers. You've got main chick we've talked about has a lot of, you know, like, her stuff is fear-based. You have the girl from Game of Thrones who basically she just turns into a wolf. Nothing crazy there. And then you have one of the guys is basically just a fire guy. He's basically fantastic. Who's a Flamon? Who's that guy? I can't remember. But same abilities, just turns himself into fire, even though he never actually uses
the fire.
He went in the final fight, he turns into fire, and then he picks up a pew, like a church pew, and starts whacking the main beast with it. And I'm like, oh, super strong because of fire?
And his fire ability is basically like, it dumbed down and he was like dark and like ashy. He was charred
because it was too expensive, I bet, to keep that flame effect going. I bet that was exactly why. They just charred him down and had him start smacking a bear with a church pew.
That's when they gave up. I'm telling you, like, we just got to get this movie out. We don't care.
That's when they gave up? They waited all the way to then to give up? They were trying for the rest of it? Wow. I struggle to believe that. I hope they weren't. I hope that's not their best. I really... Oh, God. But, okay, so you got Flame Guy. Then you have... then it starts getting a little bit more interesting. You have the Stranger Things kid spins, vibrates really fast, and shoots like a rocket. He blasts off. He's Jimmy Neutron.
Blast. They use some word.
He literally said, like, when they show him, like, spinning around a chain or whatever, they say, yeah, he blasts off.
Is that what they said?
They said he blasts off. Know. But you show, he just, vibrating.
What it
kind of
seems like is that he charges up, like, this kinetic energy and then releases it, whether that's, like, flying, because he'll dart across, like, the floor and he charges it and then boost, like he boosts in one direction, basically. So whether that's used for flying or whatever, he charges that kinetic energy and then releases it in a direction.
Thing is, he goes really fast and then and always just whacks into or blows through stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
He does get shown to get hurt, but
he
should be dead.
Yes. When he chained himself to the rock to make sure that he could control himself, so that's why he was spinning so it wasn't going in one direction off forever and then fell from a million feet in the sky. He went... He darted into the ground so fast, dead.
He blew open a metal door later in the movie.
He must have some sort of resistance
powers.
Smiley,
but then, if he does, what hurt his arm? His arm is in a sling and a cast like the whole movie. What did that? And like, nothing we see in this movie can hurt him. So he's not in any danger throughout this. He can take anything. If he can launch himself at a million miles an hour through metal doors and stone and whatever and survive and just be a little scuffed up, nothing in this movie can hurt him.
He can break his bones.
Somehow, like, yeah, but I'm saying no other force. He's the only thing that can hurt himself. Nothing else could. That bear could probably eat him and he'd be all right. Just shoot right back out of him. Who cares? Okay, so also I like the thing. Somehow, Flame Guy's powers are somehow related to his level of horniness.
Not okay.
It is. It is. I'm telling you.
Again,
He was with his girlfriend, and they started to have sex, and then he burned her alive because it got too hot.
This guy has parallels to the Hulk. Remember how the Hulk's like, I can't do it because my heart rate will get too high kind of thing. So it's like emotion or heart rate kind of intensive, so he can kind of control it. So when he gets upset, like when he was angry and trying to leave and all that kind of stuff, I think he got a little bit heated.
They never say maybe heart not, rate. But you're writing there. You're writing for
them. I'm not writing for them because that seems like you're not giving. Okay, well, this is the only time I'm going to say this. I regret the way that I'm phrasing this, but I have no other way to phrase it. You're not giving them enough credit.
Why do they only phrase his? They later on they talk about rage and the fire
because
and stuff.
Listen,
but in the beginning, they only talk about horniness and fire related.
Because all he said, what he was relating to his past, everyone had some sort of past trauma.
But then,
his past trauma was last time that he got that excited, he gets too hot.
Yes. And
so
then,
you can get excited in more ways than just being
with
horny.
Anya Taylor's they do that, but they recreate the scene with
right.
her.
Right. I understand. But that was just one of sure, it might not have been the best way, but that was one of the ways that they introduced that if he gets too excited in certain ways or he gets too, like, whether it's it doesn't necessarily have to be like his blood pressure or anything like that, but could relate a little bit to that. Could relate to just like his emotions when he's kind of too emotional. Like he kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like his extremes. I don't know. I didn't get super tied into that, but.
But I just thought it was funny. But that's how they decided to show it to you is that man got so horny he lit himself on fire and his girlfriend and burned her to death. Ridiculous.
Again, I related to the Hulk situation. It was very apparent.
I understand the thing, but they should have tried to make some kind of. They should have tried to explain it a little
bit
better.
You just hate this movie so much you just that lumped into it.
I don't know,
it,
man.
Which
the whole time I was thinking.
The thing.
He's just so horny he turns on fire. That's all. That was his power in my head until
the end.
So one
of those creepy smiley guys, when he grabbed his shoulders, he turned on and goes, and like flamed him like and just like blasted
what
him like
into.
20 feet. I'm like, so he got turned on by that?
I'm saying up until the end where he just seems to have control over it normally. He doesn't seem to be struggling with it at all. I was talking about all their powers because the last one we have to talk about is Anya Taylor-Joy. I don't know any of the characters' names. I don't want to know them. Her powers are, I feel like, movies don't have to explain everything. You know what I mean? Especially with powers, especially like flame power. We know how these things work from other movies. Her powers are so weird. I was like, what is going on? I don't. Because she starts out, the first thing you see her do is teleport. And you're like, okay, teleport. We've seen that. And then you see her get a metal knight arm and then a flaming blue sword. And you're like, okay, whack as hell, but kind of cool, I guess. I don't know what's going on. I think we, even watching it, we were like, oh, wow, crazy. But then she teleports and uses the sword at the same time to like push the main character down into a hell dimension or something. And you're like,
limbo.
What's going on? I know that she says limbo. That doesn't help me at all. And then later on in the movie, she has like a pet dragon that her puppet was. She's all over the place. And her backstory, too, with the smiley men, what are they? I have no idea what's going on. Why are they all wearing, like, weird, greasy club guy shirts with you know what I mean? They're wearing, like, the silk button-up shirts with, like, dress pants.
I wasn't paying attention to what they were wearing.
And I was like, why are they dressed like, you know, dudes at the club? Like, it's weird. They're smiley zombie
men.
What
I will say is when she was doing some of that cool stuff with a sword, and then I was like, she has the most interesting powers.
And I have no idea what, why or where, how or what.
Her powers take away who she kind of was because it was just so awful to watch.
Awful.
But having that kind of powers, I was like, this is cool. You can make a cool sci-fi movie with somebody with these powers. But that's it. Like everything else about her and that, I just.
Just saying that, like, it's just at what point do powers get so weird where you kind of have to address them a little bit? You know what I mean? Talk about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They didn't give enough at all.
Yeah, where's the dragon? Like, now we're opening up the X-Men to where there's, like, Limbo exists and like all this other shit, you know what I mean? So in the Patrick Stewart universe, dragons exist. You see what I'm saying?
It's almost like a multiverse sort of thing. It's like she went to this other dimension and got like, I'm cool.
And got
with
a
that.
Pet dragon or some shit that like, why didn't she have the dragon around all the time? Why does she have a puppet for him when, normally? And then when she comes through it toward the end, she turns the puppet in for an actual dragon.
So she walked through this weird portal,
yeah,
which wasn't really walking to a portal to another dimension, because when she walked through it, that's when the dragon, she's like, I'm going to go fight him because he's magic, whatever.
I'm magic too. She
so am I or whatever.
Yeah. Oh god.
You know her name is magic. Which makes that line even worse.
Oh god.
So she walks through the portal and then can go fight the bear, but she doesn't come out of it. Like, it's like she's like halfway stuck in the dimension, but it's fighting the things in real life and she can see the things in real life. So it's like the dragon little creature comes alive in the other dimension, but she's not even fully in the other dimension.
But she pulls the dragon out. He's fighting the bear just on the grounds of the place.
They never come out of that dimension. She walks into the portal when she's like, I'm going to go fight him, walks into the portal and goes and fights him.
So the bear's in the dimension with her?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. But remember when they were in the cathedral and she's fighting and every time she would hit with a sword, you get a flash of like the other dimension?
So it's like she's halfway stuck.
It doesn't make sense. That's my point.
I mean, I'm sure like in the comic they talk about it a lot because they love talking about that shit. But why? It's so crazy and out there and different and weird. And
honestly,
especially
for
the whole, yeah, it's definitely the coolest thing. Why not talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so weird.
Did she get her demon people from Limbo? Like when she said, okay,
no clue.
When she says she went to Limbo for so long that like that was their place, like her and her little dragon
smile
pet,
man,
right?
And they would make her cry, and that made them smile.
So that's
more.
Where they came from, right?
I guess
maybe when she got stuck in Limbo.
Why are they wearing silk shirts? Why are the people in Limbo, which is the place between heaven and hell, wearing silk clubbing shirts? What the fuck?
Because she has to relate them somehow to her real life. I feel like that it's dumb, but I feel like it's just like a nitpick of me and the wolves with the bear.
Why not just have them be like weird gray creatures with not wearing pants and shirts and shoes and socks ostensibly? When you're wearing dress shoes, you're not going to not wear socks. Oh, God.
That would just be... man, this movie's bad.
This movie's real bad. I was worried going into it because they weren't pushing any marketing for it really at all. I think I saw like one quick thing on YouTube like the day before we watched this by some of the cast saying like, hey, go watch the movie, I guess. But other than that, no advertising, obviously no indication, no articles written about it. It's just, oof.
I want to talk about this. There were so many like nods to other movies, at least in my eyes. Like the scenes I was watching felt straight out of other movies, and almost every time I would lean over to you and mention the movie or the character. So this time one of the times I didn't was when the flame guy gets back to normal, he's like his naked self and holds something. I was like, it looks straight out of like Hulk. It looked like Hulk was like covering himself up. So I was like, you Hulkified this guy because he went flame, but the last time he went flame, he was not naked. So
also, we saw scenes where like he's banging on the door and not his whole body's on fire, but his arms are covering his shirt, and then he goes off fire and his shirt's fine.
It just felt like they took like a Hulk scene out of it, like, I don't know. Hulk, when the giant demon bear kind of vaporizes, I was like, that looks like Thanos, like snapping somebody away. He's like slowly vaporizing. Yeah. When they were taking her back on the gurney and there were flickering lights and it was straight over her head, exact same shot of Black Widow from Avengers 2 when she's going through her
nightmare
past
thing.
Yeah. Her nightmare that was,
I don't remember that,
placed on her by Wanda. And she was like being gurneyed away into like the red room or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Well, anyways, that scene looks directly from that. Inception, when she says, yeah, we went to Limbo and we got stuck there and we couldn't tell, like, we got stuck there so long we didn't know if it was real or not. I'm like, that is a huge plot point of Inception. There were so many things, and I'm maybe nitpicking, but just so clearly was like,
I think a lot of scenes, like a lot of movies have like characters being wheeled on gurneys, being shown like the perspective.
But the way this was shot, what just felt so much
again,
like it.
I haven't watched Avengers 2 in a while, so you got me.
And there were more, I just don't remember all of them, but
sure.
Man.
It's, man, this movie is, feel bad for the people involved. I hope like, for the actors at least, because there's no way it's their fault. Maybe this is one of those stories where this whole movie was just screwed over by production companies, but I don't know.
So,
because
her name is Blue Hunt. That is the main character. That is the actress who plays the main character Danny.
Gotcha.
Her name is BLU, Blue. How old did she look like in this movie we watched?
Young.
Because to me, she looked like she was... Now, I feel like because we're getting older, I know like now I look back at 16-year-olds and be like, you're 12. Yeah. But so maybe she really was 16. Like I'm going to give you that because even seeing people in high school now who are like 17, 18, I'm like, do we look that young? So maybe she was like, I'm thinking like now, you know, maybe she was 16. But when I was watching, I was like, you look like 13.
Yeah.
14 maybe. But how old do you think she would be? Like, how old do you think she was?
Oh,
this is a fun fact.
The actual actor? I mean, she looks like 15 to me, but the probably actress is probably like 19.
So guess how old she is now?
Oh, well, that was probably 3 years ago, so 22.
She is 25 years old.
25, holy shit.
Which made me think, how long was this movie in pre-production, like post-production?
Really?
She was 21 in that movie. She looks like 14 years old. She does not look 21, dude.
Yeah, it's weird because like Maisie Williams also looks young. I know she's like 28.
No, Maisie Williams is younger. She's
really?
Maisie Williams
Wait,
is
who
20.
Who am I thinking of?
Maisie Williams is 23.
23. Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, Brazilian guy and then the Anya Taylor-Joy. I know they both looked much older than they were supposed to be. I mean, they both look like they're in their mid-20s.
Yeah, I didn't look at... she's our age.
Yeah.
She was born
I knew that.
Anya
yeah.
Taylor-Joy. So she's like 24, I believe.
Yeah.
That was crazy to me, though. I definitely did not think that she was that old at all. Like, not even close.
I knew she wasn't underage. No huh? way.
What do you mean?
The main actress?
Oh.
Yeah, there's no way she was underage for the role. They had her like in a romantic relationship with a character I knew was overage.
They both looked so young to me. Yeah. It was crazy. Like, that does not look like a 21-year-old, dude. Sorry, I'm looking at pictures
right
now.
All the time. I don't know, man.
I don't know what else to say.
This is real. This is real dumpster fire shit right here.
To pick out, I mean, we picked out quite a lot, but it's really hard to pick out anything
more.
Well,
we weren't able to take notes, obviously, because we're watching these in theaters now. Some of this stuff. So, you know, we're trying to pull it off of memory.
The way this podcast is, I don't want to force myself to talk about movies longer than I feel like I want to or need to, because then it's just going to get to the point people don't want to listen. I have nothing else to say because the main problems of this I talked about, and it's just consistent. Like, that's why it's consistently bad. They hold your hand throughout the entire thing. The stereotypes are way too in your face, and it's
just a poorly written mess. That's its main issue.
Yeah, it's almost like,
if it had some redeeming qualities as far as like some of the concepts were cool, but the concept that's nothing here really is interesting. Obviously, the characters are so offensively stereotypical that they're annoying to watch.
Yeah,
there's nothing like cool or different really about any of the fight scenes in this any of the CGI. It is bland as hell, if not just openly bad. I mean, I know this movie probably didn't have as big of a budget to have, you know, crazy good CGI, but it wasn't like the big demon ghost bear wasn't terrible to look at, but it, you know, nothing special. You knew you were looking at a big CGI monster,
right?
You know, so it's not, there's just, unfortunately, what makes this movie really, really bad is that its main element, obviously the writing is terrible, but it has no other redeeming qualities, so you just feel like you're there for no reason.
Yep,
pretty much. Yeah, that's really all it is. So that's where we're at. New Mutants. We're starting off. Movies coming back, and we're starting off hot, man. Real good stuff. Real good.
Tenet hopefully will be next. And
Tenet,
if that is not
yes,
better.
Because that we're going to be able to see in theaters sometime this upcoming week. It's when, I think Monday, for some reason, it's going to be in theaters. So when this comes out, Tenet will already be shown. I don't know. We'll have watched it. Sorry. And then there was some other
Bill and Ted's
thing. Bill and Ted's, I don't know, I might watch that Well, I'm not paying $20, so I'll watch that later.
Nine for the cast?
If we do an episode on it, then yeah, we'll do something.
Well, if we watch it, we're doing an episode on it. That's how this thing kind of works. Yeah. Especially when it's a new movie at this rate.
I don't know. Let's
put it this way. I would rather watch Project Power on Netflix that I've been wanting to watch than Bill and Ted's.
Yeah, I don't have a particular love for Bill and Ted's stuff. I mean, it's just a dumb comedy type thing. You know, it's nothing crazy. Although I think the main woman from Ready or Not is in Bill and Ted's. Weirdly enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty sure. It's just a little fun fact thing because I think we liked her in that movie. So
yeah. All right, that's it. I'm done rambling on. It was a terrible movie, if not one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Definitely of this year, probably of last year too.
I think it might be the top 10 worst movies I've seen.
Not worse than Ready Player One, obviously, but
it is so much worse than Ready Player One. So much worse.
Is it worse than Doctor Sleep though?
No.
So Dr. Sleep is worse.
No, Dr. Sleep's better. It's not worse than...
Oh, that's what I was asking. Yeah, you said it right. I understood wrong. This doesn't ruin anything else for me, though. And The Shining... that's a conversation for me to think in my own head. But, yeah, this movie's terrible. Please skip. Don't skip. Yeah, don't give money to anybody that made this. That's it.
You owe me $10 for the movie ticket. I know I said I'd pay.
I take it back because nope, this is. Well, that's been us. It's been fun to kind of rant on something. We haven't hated something like this in a while.
Not together.
Yeah, I usually hate, and you're usually like, it's okay.
Hey, don't lump me into people that just love everything because that is not me either.
No, you don't love everything, but yeah, no.
I can usually find some redeeming qualities at least. I think that's a fun dynamic of this podcast. Is I'm a more
optimistic versus pessimistic.
Well, you could put it that way, but I was going to say I lean a little bit more towards the subjective when I view movies, and you lean a little more towards the objective. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Because as long as I get something out of it, I would consider it a success in some way. Because movies are a way to kind of escape into another world.
I can respect that opinion for sure.
If you somehow watch this movie and you got some relief out of it and escaped to a different world.
You're a bad person. I told you this already.
Then it's good for you, but... I don't know how.
Stop watching movies. You don't deserve it.
What I'm saying is I am not a shut off my brain when I watch movies. And again, there's nothing wrong with people who shut off their brain and just watch movies. But like, I don't just go, I'm just going to enjoy this no matter what's on the screen. Because like, yeah. some people are pretty flashy. Some people can, I'm not saying this is them as a person, but some people can dumb down their brain to a level to where they can be entertained by almost anything, which
you're just too
kinda,
smart.
No. If anything, I'm saying that that's actually kind of good on them. If you can get to the point where you can be entertained by almost anything, mm-hmm. I mean, hey.
Well, like, I like Fast and Furious movies because they're so just ironically dumb, right? But, you know, that's a little bit different than what's going on here. They don't, at least anymore, everybody except for Vin Diesel is not taking those seriously. So it's kind of like a fun, dumb
now,
romp. Like,
that is why I like them.
Yeah.
But before, it's not. And I like them for what they actually were a lot more than you did.
I don't know very well 1, 2, 3, the early ones. I didn't really become like a fan of Fast and Furious until 7. When 7 came out, I was like, we saw it as a joke, and I was like, you know what? That was dumb as hell, and I love it.
Me and Seth did not see it as a joke. We were ready to watch the movie. And I can give 7 praise. I've told you this. I've told you that 8 was where it was like, this is done. This is done. 8 was, this is over.
8 is certainly much more goofy than 7, but 7 is not good.
The biggest crazy thing they do, the two biggest and crazy things they do is they jump out of a...
They drive a car in between buildings.
That one is the most absurd one, but if you do it right, could be possible. Why not? It's glass. You break through one, you go through another. Why not? Please explain to me.
I don't think they'd be able to get up enough speed to make that gap.
Maybe. I might be able to. Well,
they're in a building. They
it's
have
a
like
tall building. Drop a few floors as you go across.
I think
they
literally go.
No, I don't think
down.
So.
Dude, they don't have a runway.
High power car.
Wasn't that car made of gold too? Because it was like some Dubai oil Prince like owned it and he made his, it was like a Bugatti Veyron made of gold or something like that. I want to say that was part of it.
This should be an entirely different episode, which
we're
is probably going
Fast
to be
Fast and Furious at some point.
Oh yeah, that has to be the series.
Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty other stuff just outside of the crazy stunts that they do that is insane, I'm sure.
Yes, but I was talking about the
literally,
stunts.
Literally, I think
No, you hold on, because you don't let me finish. Driving cars out of an airplane, people do that. That's doable. That was cool.
Oh, that's fine.
That was cool.
Landing them would probably be difficult with
they
all this stuff.
They put parachutes
on
them.
Yeah, I guess it's fine.
They have
scientific people who can
kind of weigh out
Did
where the parachutes have to be.
Did they need to do that for the scene? No.
Yeah, it's the only way in, dude.
No.
From the air.
They were just on a road, my guy.
That was like the most undetectable way into this base.
They were going into a base.
You don't remember? Yeah.
Don't talk
about the movies till after you've seen them again.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. But I thought they were just cutting off like a convoy of cars. Remember, because isn't that where Paul Walker gets out and gets onto the bus and it almost falls off?
I don't know either,
you fucker.
Regardless,
you
I know that it might not have been a base, but it was the most undetectable way for them to get in.
How do you defend the scene where like head CIA guy comes in with a bucket of Corona beer and says, "Hey, Dom, heard you like these." You remember that in Seven?
Product placement. Sure, that's cringy product placement. Just like in Sonic, so it was cringy product placement. That didn't make the movie itself awful. That part helped
make it awful.
But we didn't think Sonic was awful.
No,
it was
because
just,
it had way... It didn't also have all this other shit. I'm just saying that was definitely a part of it Seven. Shit
cool,
like
they have
that.
A scene
that's
where somebody
scene.
Walks in with Bud Light. Whatever.
I brought up one example, but there's many like it.
But there are some examples that are so egregious that it makes you like torn from the movie. And there are a lot for Seven for you. I'm not saying you're necessarily wrong for that, but throwing up with Bud Light is not one of them for me.
It's Corona.
What? I don't exactly. I don't care.
Wasn't big. Bud Light?
I know in Sonic it was Olive Garden. So
at least the joke was better done in Sonic than in Fast and Furious, but still, whatever.
I'm now looking up. There is a whole article on whether it's even possible to jump the cars like that. It is doable,
ooh,
but very ill-advised. Look, I'll bring a lot more. I will bring a lot more research when we do these movies. This is an article talking to a physicist. Get out of here, boy.
Physicist?
Get out of here, boy. You just can't admit that you're wrong. We will see you guys next
really
week
don't think
on That's Movies, Brother. Go follow us at That's Movies, Brother on Instagram. Follow me at Tyler C. Gillette on Instagram. If you guys are listening to this on an audio platform, where are you going?
I'm done.
No, you can't leave.
Bye.
No, come back. Sit down.
I don't like the plug section.
Sit down. I'm not going to be doing this alone. You walked away from me on one, and we're not making it normal. Give us a 5-star rating if you're
See
listening.
See you later.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcast. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I said 5-star. Just give us a rating.
5 stars.
Just give us
a
rating.
5 stars.
How are you feeling? I want to feel what you're feeling.
I don't. If that goes below 5 stars, I'll kill myself. Can I make that joke?
No. Anyways.
Ah.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcast, we would appreciate a rating. If you are watching this on YouTube, thank you. We are on YouTube now. We are filming our podcast. And I got a YouTube channel too, Tyler Gillette. We're done. You got anything to plug?
Finish. No, this is why I hit the plug section. Goodbye.